Our study tonight is out of 3 John verses 5 through 15, Nurturing God's Godly Servants. Having written on the true spiritual fellowship in 1 John and about whom we are to exclude from our fellowship in 2 John, the Apostle John wrote a third epistle on the nurturing nature of our fellowship in the Lord. Local churches are involved in outreach both directly through members of the church as well as indirectly by way of prayer and material support for those who disciple people in places other than the local church. God's godly traveling servants are worthy of the local church's nurture, and 3 John verses 5 through 15 explains this ministry. I'd like to read the verses that we have. There's only one chapter in 3 John, but start verse 5 and go to the end of the epistle. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, did not receive us. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbids them that would, and casts them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that practices evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good report among all men, and of the truth itself, yes. And we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. But I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. But I trust that I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee, our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Very interested. The pen, incidentally, was a reed that was pointed at the end, and it was compounded of, and the ink was compounded of charcoal, gum, and water. It was written on papyrus, which is a reed, and it was papyrus was pressed together. It had two different sheets this way pressed together, and that made their sort of paper. And so it had to be copied, obviously, onto lambskins in order to be preserved for a very long time. But anyway, we need to give for the financial support of God's servants who uphold the truth in word and deed. That's verses 5 through 8. John praised Gaius for his faithful ministry to fellow believers who were traveling evangelists. The word strangers in this context referred to traveling preachers who gained financial support by traveling from church to church as they ministered along the way. Technically, they would be viewed as strangers because they were people, a lot of them, people hadn't met them before, but they just referred to them as strangers. But these were believers, like traveling evangelists or missionaries, if that's the closest comparison that we would have today. Incidentally, 3 John is a tremendous epistle for supporting missionaries as a local church. It almost dovetails in perfectly with it. So applied to our era, these would be traveling evangelists and missionaries to other places. And a missionary is someone whom we support, who ministers in another place other than what we do. Such strangers had testified to John about Gaius's hospitality and financial support of them. John testified that Gaius would do well to donate more funds to send these servants of God on their way. Not only had he spent some funds in order to house them and to give them hospitality, but he said, you do well to give them some money now so that they can, you know, they're going to have some money between now and when they get to the next church, so give them some money so they can go on their way. And we make a point of this too. When missionaries come and speak, as we try to take up an offering or donation so that they can cover their expenses for the trip that is here. Now, John explained that these strangers were reputable servants of God, for they had gone out to minister without accepting support from unsaved pagans for the sake of the name. Now, we need to explain, what's the sake of the name? What's going on here? Well, Christ's gospel was the message of salvation by grace through faith apart from works. We repeat this every Sunday in our introduction, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. However, if a teacher were to accept donations from unsaved pagans, he might cause them to think that they were helping to buy their salvation. And you'll notice the Apostle Paul worked hard to oppose this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18. Let me just read that verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18, Paul was talking about why he was not receiving remuneration from these people. And he said, "What is my reward then, that verily when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I do not abuse my power in the gospel?" See, if Paul had charged for giving the gospel, people might think that there's a price to pay in order to get into heaven. Paul didn't want any confusion in regards to that. When he preached the gospel, it was free to those folks that he was preaching the gospel to. And this is why he had tent making as a job that he'd picked up from his father as a trade. So he would make these tents and he would support himself while he was evangelizing unreached areas. Now he would receive money from certain believers. Certain believers would want to give to him, people who were mature, and they understood it was, by grace. But the Apostle Paul was very, very careful to protect the reputation of the gospel by not receiving money this way. So out of protection for the true gospel, these godly strangers had refused to receive money from unsaved pagans in order to reinforce the gospel they preached of salvation by grace and not by human merit. Incidentally, we've made this a practice at Nepog Church. You'll notice when we have a youth ministry or the youth are trying to get money, I remember years ago to go to a camp or a special outing, we would not host a car wash here where, people come in and they pay. We don't do that because we don't want to raise money from the unsaved world. For the people from the unsaved world, they say, "Well, I came into Nepog Church and I put out $5, $10 and everything so that they could wash my car. So God ought to be happy with that when I get this, I stand at the pearly gates here, let me in." And they think it's a means of salvation. So we don't do that at all. In fact, years ago, we used to charge money for materials for VBS. And one of our ladies, actually it was Mary Shadler years ago when she attended our church and she's come back. She came to us as a board and said, "Wait a minute, you talk about not making the gospel of charge, but you're charging students for money. And some of these students are coming from homes where they don't know the Lord." And we said, "Mary, you're right." So we decided to stop charging anything for the material. So if we had a material, we would take that out of the church's coffers. We didn't want to charge. Now, sometimes people, unsaved people, will take a check, they'll write it out, and they'll stick it in our offering box anyway. We don't ask for that, but we're not going to turn that money back because we might really offend them. You might be implying that their money is dirty, and we don't want to do that. But we don't ask for any money from unsaved people because we don't want them to think that somehow by their donating, they're earning their way to heaven. That's very, very important. See, it's an issue of the gospel at this point. So these missionaries had upheld, or traveling evangelists, upheld the truth of Christ's gospel, upholding his reputation, signified by his name. See, the name of God is the reputation of God. He's a God of grace, and he saves us by his grace. So the protection of the name and the reputation of God as being a God who saves by grace is upheld by how we handle our finances. So John added that we ought to support such people that we might be fellow workers with them for the truth. In verse 8, notice, "We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers." The word is actually fellow workers. This is important. When we support missionaries, we are actually participating before God. We are participating in their works. We read these missionary letters every Sunday morning, okay? Or we try to get every Sunday morning a missionary letter. Sometimes they don't have enough missionary letters, and so we run a little spare. But we were talking about missionaries this morning and talking about the Trans World Radio and the outreach. I was thinking this morning, with this imam who came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, we had a part in that. We had a part in that because we were supporting the Rosses, and the Rosses were involved in that ministry, that outreach to this imam. So from God's perspective, on the books, everybody who donated towards missions at Nepog Bible Church has a contributing participation in the salvation and that of that imam. So that's an exciting thing. We get to be actually fellow workers. So you don't always have to go to the mission field. Yes, God wants some people to go, but giving to the missionaries and praying for those missionaries and encouraging them, writing notes of encouragement, sending these flowers like to the peacocks and everything, that encourages us. That makes us fellow workers with these people. And so it's an important ministry. We also need to support such worthy servants of God emotionally and mentally. John complained about Diotrephes, who liked to have the preeminence and who thus did not accept the authority of even Christ's apostles, which is astounding. Accordingly, we need to relate to God's servants who are traveling evangelists and missionaries with an attitude of humility that nurtures them. We also need to respect all of God's servants who have been given authority in the local church. It's interesting that Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 is very strong on the importance of how we relate to our leaders. Hebrews 13, 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you." He's talking about the local church. "And submit to yourselves to them, for they watch over your souls that they, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." It's profitable for the local congregation if they obey and if they submit to their leaders and not create a hardship on them, because if it creates a hardship on them, then often that affects their capacity to lead well and then hurts the church. So it's very, very important. God is going to hold people accountable for how they've treated and how they responded to leaders. That's something we need to keep in mind as well. Well, John added that Diotrephes talked wicked nonsense. The Greek word is flu areo. It means to talk nonsense about or to bring unjustified charges against. In some way, these people had maligned the apostles of Christ, this man had. So accordingly, we need to compliment and verbally encourage instead of slander or verbally undermine God's servants. The apostle John added that Diotrephes even refused to offer hospitality to godly traveling of preachers, and he even excommunicated those in the church who showed such hospitality, obviously exhibiting unrighteous control efforts on his part. So instead of trying to control God's servants or other people, we need to give people room to be themselves and thus to nurture them. Incidentally, this I can tell there's a problem with Diotrephes. What Diotrephes has done, he's gotten away from trusting the sovereignty of Jesus Christ over the church. When you get away, if you're in the ministry and you get away from respecting the sovereignty of Christ over the church, then as a leader, you get to get to the point where you think that it's your responsibility to control the church, and then you kind of step in the Lord's role. That's a big mistake. No. The real, and I view this, the real pastor of Nepok Church is the Lord Jesus. I'm just a hired hand, okay? I'm just doing duties. And the men on our board are under-shepherds, but the real shepherd of our church is the Lord Jesus. So he's got complete control. He's got a lot of control in the body. So the best way to be non-controlling, the best way is to be non-competitive and to be humble in relationship to other servants of God who come by is to recognize that God's over them. He's over us. So how do we treat our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ? Very, very important here. Then John exemplified this nurturing action at the conclusion of his epistle in verses 11 to 15. He told Gaius not to imitate Diotrephes' evil, but to imitate what was good. But John prescribed, for doing what Diotrephes did indicated a lack of fellowship with the Lord versus fellowship with God. John added that Demetrius, apparently a traveling preacher himself, who may have carried this letter from John to Gaius, was reputable, deserving support and nurture. So the epistle closes with John's exemplifying, warm, and edifying remarks to Gaius. Notice how warm this is. This is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, "I had many things to write, but I will not write with ink and pen to you. But I trust that I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name." Notice how warm that is. John was a wonderful man of God, humble man, and he was warm. He was a loving servant of God. So the lesson is we need to nurture God's godly servants who uphold God's truth in word and deed. doing so by financially supporting them and emotionally and mentally nurturing them by humbly relating to them, verbally encouraging them, and giving them room to be themselves instead of trying to manipulate or to control them. So may we nurture God's servants who uphold the truth in word and deed with our financial support, as well as nurture them emotionally and mentally whenever we interact with them. A number of years ago, we had a missionary family that came to our church, and they thought they were going to be here just for a relatively short time, but they ended up, because of things that were out of control, being here for an extended period of time. When they were here, they found out that the church was behind on paying for my salary by a month. It was a little over a month, I think, at the time. And when they found out about it, they were appalled, and they came to me in private. And they were concerned because they didn't have the means to support themselves, and they would have been entirely dependent upon our church, and our church did fork out the money. But knowing that they were already behind on me, they were very, very concerned about the relationship that I would have with them and everything. And I just didn't interact with them. I felt that this is an issue that was very, very sensitive, and it really wasn't their concern, so I just tried to stay out of the way. And sure enough, the church came through and supported them and actually started giving them money before they caught up with our salary. And that was tense, but we thought, well, you know, this is an opportunity for the Lord to tip his hand. If he wants us here, he will provide no matter what happens, you know. But our job is not to be disruptive, but to be as supportive as we possibly can in this situation. The Lord came through, and eventually the church caught up with our needs as well, and things went on. But I had to learn this lesson firsthand in a delicate situation. And it was a tremendous lesson to me, but it was amazing. The Lord taught me that he is in control. He will handle the finances of the church. He will handle the needs of people around us. We should never get into a situation where we're trying to compete with anybody. We're all servants of God. We're all children of God, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We need to relate to one another with humility. We need to relate to one another with love and consideration, and recognizing that we all answer to the Lord. Indeed, we will.